Do you want to make your company more profitable and your employees happier? Research shows more women in leadership positions are the way to go. Welcome to The Leaders Talk, a podcast series by The Female Factor in collaboration with the Business Network Senate of Economy in Austria. My name is Madis and I'm the co-founder of The Female Factor, a global career and business platform aiming to close the gender leadership gap for good. We enable more women to get a seat at the table and support inclusive companies to find top-notch talent in Europe. The Leaders Talk will cover honest conversations with female CEOs and board members of different industries, sharing inspiring stories and hands-on advice on how to create an inclusive workplace and equal opportunities in business. So let's get started. Welcome to today's episode. Our guest today is Sandra Kollet. She is the managing director of Miele for Austria, Slovenia, and Croatia, a position she's now held for over 3 years. And prior to that, she was with Xerox for over 23 years. Her last role was as general manager. Sandra, you sit on multiple boards of different nonprofit organizations. You've also been the president of the American Chamber of Commerce here. And I have read that you love sailing in Croatia. So welcome. I'm excited to speak with you today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And the sailing is very true.
Nice. I want to hear about that later. So, Sandra, how we came to this episode with you was not the general way of us, you know, having you on the official guest list. Mm-hmm. We actually did a LinkedIn post and asked our community to suggest speakers that we should bring on board. And we've had a lot of comments and messages come in, which I'm very grateful for, and incredible names were on the list. And yours was also there. And what I loved about you was that you also commented then and suggested, I think, 5 to 7 other women who should be part of it. And we as The Female Factor love this attitude. We love if, you know, bring other people up with you. So yeah, I'm very, very happy that LinkedIn brought us together. And that's why I want to start with your LinkedIn profile. By the way, this is not an ad for them. I just use this platform a lot. But your profile says, passionate leader, passionate for people. So can you share with us what your story is behind this tagline? Why did you choose that?
So originally, if you would have looked onto my profile some years ago, it said passionate for sales, and it developed because a large part of my career was in sales and I still feel being in sales. Mm-hmm. And therefore I said, I'm passionate for sales. I'm really passionate for sales. And that comes out of the big communication element that you have in sales. And actually I'm passionate for communication. And then when you develop, of course, with different roles, not being sales director anymore, but general manager or managing director, you also adapt what you mainly do. And it's actually, you sell everywhere, but it's not the selling mainly anymore. So I changed what it is now for me, and it's passion for people and passion for leading. And it's the same think behind, it's communication. It's always communication. It's internal, it's external, it's representation, it's discussing, it's developing people. All of that is communication.
That so much like resonates with me because I'm also passionate about sales. And at the same time, when you switch into a more general role where you're responsible for a company or a department or a team, you need to leave kind of your narrow expertise in a way behind and look broader, and you serve the people in the company, obviously. What was the biggest challenge for you in that switch?
Stopping wanting to go out and sell myself because I loved it so much. And it's very different now in my role now than it was at Xerox, because at Xerox it still was it was B2B sales. Big projects, and there you are there. Even if you're the managing director, you are there. You the customer expects you to be there, and I love to be there, so I did that. Now I'm in a different sales world, which doesn't enable me even to be on there because it's a much more ongoing, smaller business. So of course I still go out. I love to go out. I always ask myself, people, take me with you. but it's much less. And stopping this was hurting in the beginning. Mm. So I didn't feel so attached anymore to it. So it was a bit hurting, but then so many other interesting topics came in that makes it much easier to let it go.
Nice. Speaking of, you know, your switch in terms of mm-hmm. also companies, I mean, you were with Xerox for 23 years. That's incredible. And then you decided to change from, you know, an American publicly traded mm-hmm. IT company to a German family-run company mm-hmm. active in home appliances, let's mm-hmm. say. Why?
That's a very good question, because I was not in search. So I was happy with my role that I had as the general manager in Xerox. And I was just approached by a headhunter. Mm-hmm. I even wouldn't call her a headhunter because she got a real partner in that process of recruiting. And I don't like the word headhunter, actually. And in the first run, I said, no, I'm not interested in having talks. I'm happy. And then they told me what the company is, which is quite uncommon that they already tell you on the phone. Yeah. And then I said, okay, Miele, I would be a little bit arrogant in not even having a talk. Mm-hmm. So I had a first talk with the headhunter, and then the next round with the former management in Austria. And it developed from conversation to conversation. And what I always said is that if I change, I really want to change. So I wouldn't go to competition or stay in the industry. Mm. I said, if I do that, it must be something totally different. That's what I have now. I'm still in my fourth year. I'm still saying every day it's totally different.
Okay.
And what attracted me concrete to Miele was exactly that culture, which is coming out of this heritage, fourth generation, two families run. And I felt this totally different culture already in the talks. And it's really having people in the center of everything what we do at Miele. And if you think back to my LinkedIn profile, it closes perfectly for me. So passion for people matches very, very well with Miele.
Nice. So you're very aligned there. I mean, you showcase strong loyalty to one company, and it seems like you also showcase a strong loyalty now to Miele. But what are your thoughts about now, about, you know, we have the great resignation, we've had the pandemic, also the next generation right now doesn't see, you know, sticking to one organization for their lifetime. What are your thoughts on this kind of new norm for career cycles? How do you manage that also at your company right now when it comes to recruiting teams?
I think the big art is that we have all these generations in the company.
Mm.
So also our mind is, of course, how do we gain the young target group into the company? We also have to take care of the generations that we already have. And I think that's the big art. I think it's not so difficult saying, okay, this is my target group now. I act like this and then I will attract them. But we can't leave the others behind who have a different way of working and different wishes to their employer. And we want to be the employer of choice for all the generations that are working with us. I think that's the big thing you have to think about. And just yesterday, we are signing letters on Jubilas regularly every month. Just yesterday, I signed within that four letters mm-hmm. where the people are 30 years with us, 30. Wow. Four letters, just in 1 month, we have that. And on the other hand side, we have the young generation. We're looking for e-commerce managers for where you have also these younger targets groups in. And that's for me the challenge. And I think there is no recipe. But if you are truly interested in people, then it helps because you try to understand all these generations in your workforce?
Would you say you can cater to both the generation that wants to stay for 30 plus years at a company and those who might say, you know what, I'm just here for 2 to 3 years max. This is like the way I want to manage my career to switch a lot, let's say.
I think we have to. Because
no choice, huh?
we can't let the ones go on and not have the others. We need the full potential. It's, as you say, great resignation. It's really difficult to hire at the moment. And we also have to because it brings diversity in.
Yeah.
It's clearly, even if there are sometimes tensions or it's challenging to, especially to the leadership and to the managers to manage all these different kind of people. But that's what diversity is about. We know it's not easy. But we also know it's beneficial.
Speaking of diversity, what diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives do you have in place? Mm.
That's a very interesting question because Miele has still a way to go globally on that one. As you said, very, very traditional, but very, very open and very, very willing. In Austria, I'm on my senior team. I have three, so in total, we are three females out of seven, including me as a managing director. So I would say we are 50-50. Also in the levels below in, in management, we are 50-50 female. There were no special initiatives in the past to get there. And if that works, and I don't say it works all the time, but if that works, it's the best way, by the way. Because if it's natural, it's the best way. But especially globally, but also locally, we have one big topic, it's technicians. We have 200 technicians, more than 200 technicians, and it's difficult to hire technicians. It's nearly impossible to hire female technicians. So we, for example, there we started now bringing in an apprenticeship where we were able to find a girl. I think what's the reason why we are good is that we have a lot of very practical things. So we have a kindergarten. We have job sharing in part-time roles. We have a lot of part-time, which is also a tricky thing, because, but having the kindergarten, we bring them back earlier, we bring them back in part-time, and we bring them also quicker back to full-time, having the kindergarten in-house, for example. So we have a lot of practical things on the female side. We also have a very diverse workforce in terms of nationalities, especially, for example, in the technician. I think we have 16 nationalities now in Austria in the company. But yes, we have to still do some work there.
Because you mentioned you still have a way to go, I really appreciate that you're being honest there. What's your wish? What would you like to achieve? Where do you think there's still potential that you're not tapping into?
Yeah, for us, it's especially the technical part of the company.
I think so, like for anyone.
For anyone. And that's something we don't want to give up. Huh? It's difficult, but we don't want to give up on it. So we're thinking of now, for example, starting earlier, starting with apprenticeships. What can we do there? So that would be it on the local perspective. And of course, keeping the management proportion that we have, and just our saying at Miele is immer besser,
always better,
always better, this is it, immer besser, also in terms of diversity.
How would you describe your own leadership style?
I actually somebody described it many years ago for me, and I still love it. Is that you are a yin yang leader?
Oh, okay.
So yin yang, you know, the yin yang symbol, in that way that it's opposite forces that are also integrated into each other. And you not only have the black and the white, but you also have the dot in between, which is again the other color. And I loved this description very much. Because, for example, when it comes to decision making, it's both. Huh? It's the team decision, but it's also being clear about when decisions are made differently, under which circumstances we don't do team decisions because we need crisis management or something like that. Mm-hmm. We need it differently, and to be clear also about that. And that's what I like, and I think I'm very good in doing both, whatever it is. And so it's yin yang.
I like the duality of this approach. I mean, we are also big fans of any type of, you know, shared leadership models. Would you say that's also something that you believe in? Because it's also some sort of yin-yang just by two people.
Yeah, it is. I think it, and I was thinking in the past quite often about that, to have more time for the sea. if that would be a solution for me in my previous role. We really had this discussion with a colleague of mine. I think it needs still to be, if it's two, then they really need to harmonize with each other. So if you do it, of course you want to bring in this diversity again and this value of it, but you can't get people insecure by that. So if you then don't have clear strategic vision, same path, and also personal harmonization, then I think it's very, very difficult for the people that you lead, because they always don't know where are they going now. Mm-hmm. I think this needs very, very clear circumstances and rules. But for certain roles, I really can imagine it well.
Is it a possibility currently? Because you mentioned job sharing.
We have job sharing, but not on a senior management level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. One area of your kind of operational focus is also coaching and mentoring. Mm-hmm. What tips can you give to other leaders in this area?
Just do it. Okay. I would really say it's so beneficial. Mm-hmm. I think if you are a leader, for good leader, you don't need a special education for mentoring. Coaching is the next step probably where you need some more. But for this informal kind of mentoring, it's beneficial for both. That's why I love it. Mm. Choose your mentees in terms of they are totally different than you.
Okay. Interesting.
Also in another field of expertise. So if you do external with other companies, I love to go for, I don't know, the building business. One of my last mentees was a finance director in building. So there you can gain so much for both sides. And that's what it should be, because you do mentoring because you want to help, you want to develop, but it's always good that goes both ways. Then you are in with more energy of yourself.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because we also run a mentoring program, but that's across industries. Yeah. And we've heard that mentors are surprised how beneficial it is for them, not just for the mentee, and B, how beneficial it can be if you're from two completely different industries, like you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. What role has mentoring played for your own career?
That's a very interesting question, because I seldom had official mentors. Mm-hmm. Like in a development program, you get a mentor now. I had two, this kind of 1 year story.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of informal mentors. And the most important one for me probably was who was not doing a lot of mentoring, but opening my mind. It was the HR director when I joined Xerox. Mm-hmm. He was a Dutch guy. And he asked me after 1 year, 1.5 years where I was there, that I should invite him to my opening party the day I become the general manager of Xerox in Austria.
He already knew then.
he didn't know, of course.
He saw the potential.
And I said, yeah, this guy is, yeah. I will never be. And by the way, I'm not interested and no way. And it was just, I'm happy that I still remember this sentence, because at that point of time, I felt it totally unrelevant to me.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back, I think he opened unconsciously a total new space for me. That, I don't know, I was 24, 25, mm-hmm. 25, asking me that question just when I just entered the company. And then he took care of me, always informally, but he was always somewhere there. He left 2 or 3 years later to Holland again. And actually, he was already retired when I became general manager.
Did you invite him to
I invited him. I invited him. I was always in touch with him and his wife, so once a year. So I invited him. He unfortunately couldn't come for health reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But the day I had my opening party, he had sent a big, big flower bouquet. So it's really, I think that was a mentor for me without being a mentor.
That is so sweet. And to see how he helped you think big,
mm-hmm.
And for you to then reach this role, yeah. It's incredible. Yeah. Wow, what a story. Being in your position right now, what does success mean to you?
Success means to me to be relevant,
mm-hmm.
and to leave traces behind. Mm-hmm. I think it's also my profile. it's my favorite saying from Saint-Antoine d'Exupéry,
mm-hmm.
That you have to go not only the smooth ways, to leave traces behind, and not just only dust, a short version of the longer quote. And that's important to me. So if I look back, I want that I was able to change things to the positive. Culture transformation is extremely important to me. And that once I'm probably not there anymore, people remember me for something. For something that I did that's now better for the people, that they were able to develop, that the company developed, that the culture developed. That's success for me. And in the same time, I always want to be able to look into the mirror. And that's sometimes in leadership roles, that's not easy, because sometimes you have to do things which probably are not your personal conviction that that's now the right way to go. But you always have the choice how you do things. And that's, I'm really lucky to say that after 27 years in business now, I was able to look into the mirror every single day.
That's beautiful. Your positive impact and being able to look in the mirror is also a good bridge to my last question, which is always the same. It's rather, a polite request. So I'd love for you to share with us one thing that you can commit to contribute to other women rise to the top at their organization or at your organization.
I think there are several things that you can do. I mean, what we are doing today is part of it. So continue that kind of showcase.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the one which is probably the most direct and also quickest impact, that's why I selected, is very often internally in the organization, and it doesn't matter in which organization, so I've only two, but if I talk to other leaders, it's the same there, that women very often don't apply internally. Mm-hmm. So if you post the position, also externally, by the way, but if you post the position, then you think, oh, these three ladies would be perfect for it. And none of them applies. In the same time, you have several males where you think, long way to go. And they apply. And that's not a rating in general, but in general, women, I think they do underestimate where they are already. They are also not thinking for a new role. They think they already need to be able to do it when they get it.
Mm.
But you learn on the job. So in concrete, that means you really have to go in there and say, did you see this posting? Why don't you apply when you think it's a good match? And then also help them to identify with that and really get the ladies to apply.
Mm-hmm. So get them to apply to these internal positions.
Mm-hmm.
I need some tangible commitment here. Mm-hmm. So can you name a number of women that you will, you know, empower to apply to those positions? Anything that I can ask you a year from now?
I think if we, can't say how many I will ask, but I would say if one, because of this request, moved to a leadership position, who wouldn't have applied by herself, we could congratulate each other for this conversation.
Great. That's great. And I cannot wait to ask you and celebrate this one achievement. Thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, and thanks for the interesting questions. It's like in mentoring. Always you take something out of these conversations. Absolutely. On both sides.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you.
We hope this conversation inspired you to take action towards equal opportunities in the workplace. Thank you for listening. If you want to learn more about the Female Factor, or if you like to give feedback to this podcast, head over to our website, femalefactor.global. We're looking forward to hearing from you.